Welcome to the Property Unleashed podcast, a show about property, entrepreneurship, and personal development. This show is designed to give you the foundations and building blocks to move forward on your journey and live a more inspired life. Hello and welcome to the Property Unleashed podcast. I'm your host, Mark Fitzgerald, and I'm delighted today to be joined by a special guest. He is a very successful property entrepreneur in his own right, and this includes a whole host of projects from buy-to-let to now doing HMOs and flat conversions. He is building up and refurbishing his own portfolio. Tim's targets the professional market, offering stylish functionality and homely properties, achieving significantly higher rents than the average going rates. Also add that he is my business partner for Podlets, our lettings company. So please welcome to the show, Tim Ives.
Woo!
You all right, my friend?
I'm really good. Who are you writing about there? Because I didn't recognise myself.
I know. Well, I like to be modest, you know, get it out there. So, Tim, thank you for coming on the show today. It's a great honour to have you and to take up a bit of your time. As we know, time is very precious. And I guess, you know, from the outside, looking at what you're doing, you've got plenty of projects on. You always seem to be a very, very busy man. And obviously, we have a business together as well. So we do talk a lot. But I'd like to sort of delve a little deeper maybe into how Tim's got to where Tim's got to, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, we can go back now, which is quite a long way away for both of us. When you're sort of leaving school, I know the world was a different place then. But when you left school, what were your sort of aspirations? What did you want to do?
That's a good one. I didn't really have a clear direction what I wanted to do. I think a lot of people either want to be either a doctor or they want to be an accountant and they have a specific thing they want to go into. I just decided I wanted to do business. And by doing that, I went up to Newcastle University for 5 years. Four, 5 years, can't remember, it was that bloody long ago. And went up there to study business. And I think I did the first marketing and advertising course there was. And I had the choice, I think it was Bristol, Newcastle. I think there was Manchester I got offered. But I went to Newcastle. Hence, Mark, as you know, I absolutely love that place. I went up there for 4 years. And, did my course. And I still, even though I did the course, it was business, marketing, advertising, I finished it. Still didn't know what I wanted to do. And I got a job advertised, I did sort of placement stuff. I finished that and worked for an advertising agency for a little bit of time. Probably like most people, it doesn't change. You know, most people when they finish university, you sort of, I went up there and I spent quite a lot of time just going out and drinking. Saying to my parents I was doing my dissertation or doing whatever I was doing, but I was, you know, met some really good friends, still in contact with a lot of them now, which is fantastic. My first job, I actually got as a 2 weeks sales job working for Tetley Brewery.
Enjoy.
Oh, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. They gave us a van. And anybody in the know who did sales, you used to apply to this thing called the Grocer magazine. And you went to the magazine in the back of it. Nobody ever looked at the front. You went to the back of the magazine and you just looked and saw where all the jobs were. And there was a job for Carlsberg Tetley. And it was selling when Tetley came out with a widget can. And we went around all of the cash and carries around sort of Leeds. And that was the area we were given. And we just had to sell as much stuff as possible over a 2 week period. And having walked into quite a few independent shops, I bumped into a guy that worked for Walker's Crisps, PepsiCo. And they were looking for graduates to go on to that, to go work for PepsiCo. And I got a job with Walker's Crisps. And that sort of set me off on my sort of sales marketing career, as you say, filling my van, my car full of bags of crisps in the cash and carry at 7 a.m. and going out and selling. But everybody has to start somewhere. And I was with Walker's PepsiCo. And then where did I go after that? I went to a brewery selling Miller, genuine draft, cider. And then I worked for Coke for 7 years. So I've sort of worked for Coke, Nestle ice cream. I've worked for generally in commercial roles.
Have you just enjoyed the sort of selling and commercial side of things? I know when we leave school, obviously I've got children, you've got children, and I always think, even when we think back to where we were, it's a very difficult time to actually decide what you want to do. So when I look back, or I look at people now, you know, younger people that are in their late teens, early 20s, I'm in awe when they've sort of set out in stone what they want to do and what they want to achieve. Because when we did this, or when I did it particularly, it was I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I just sort of drifted around a bit. But you seem to find a bit of track in what you were doing with your sales and things. And that just seems to have platformed you upwards and upwards, so to speak.
Well, I had one clear area that I wanted to do. I always had to work for the number one brand in a particular sector. So Coca-Cola, Nestle ice cream, Dairy Crest milk, Walker's crisps. And I literally went around and worked for licensed independent grocery. And then I got a bit fed up with that sector. And I went to work for Speedo in Nottingham. Yes, I know you might be thinking I'm one of those, Speedo models. Yeah, we're my budgie smugglers. No, I worked for them for 7 years. What an incredible company, owned by Pentland, who owned a load of other brands. But that gave me an opportunity really to start to see the world a bit, and which I thought would be a really good thing for me to do. And I was there for about a year and a half, more than that, about a year. And then I was given the Northern Europe role. However, you know, we've talked about this, Mark, and a lot about, you know, it's a bit of a blessing in disguise, and, you know, don't always wish for what you want, because sometimes it comes true a lot, you know, if you work towards it. And I was given this role, and you know what, for about 2.5 years, 3 years, I literally spent 90% of my time on an aeroplane. And I was just going from country to country, young family, never saw them. And I couldn't understand why, you know, it was really at that point I just realized I had to change stuff. I had to change, and you go down this whole path of thinking, oh, the best thing for me to do now is to go and again, we talk about the hamster wheel, don't we? You go and do a corporate role and jump on the hamster wheel, and you get paid more, and then you pay your bills, and then once you pay your bills, you go and work a bit harder because you want to earn a bit more money, and then once you earn that money, you go and spend a bit more, so therefore, you know, you put a bit away, but actually, then you go and get a better job. And the key thing is, the reason why you have a family is you never see them, because, you know, I just never saw them because I was traveling all the time. So, fast forward a few years and I decided that I had to change. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it. But, my property journey, I think when we talk about the youngsters and what they start out to do, you know, I turn around to mine now and say, right, you know, here is Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Here is... property magic, you know, have a read in property. It's not really about learning about property. It's actually about a mindset of how to do things a bit differently. You can do what you want. I think we were quite limited when we started. I generally think we were quite limited. We did, you know, when I started out in, when I left university, I don't even think the internet even existed. 1994.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, 94.
That's it. I mean, there's a wealth of information out there at the moment now that we everybody's got access to, that we certainly didn't have it. I mean, it was very well, it was the industrial age still, wasn't it, so to speak, when we started out, which was, you know, get a job. It might not be a job for life anymore, but it's get a job, you know, buy a house, pay the mortgage off, and that's the way the things are supposed to go. But it's very, very, very different now. And but you do what you think's right, as you say. So what made you then get into the sort of property world? Was it the fact that you wanted to do something for your own? I know you've always bought some properties. You've had some buy to lets. How many of those do you currently have?
Lots. We talk about this. We always say, don't we? We always say
a handful.
It's a handful, and it depends how big your hands are. Because actually, myself and Mark obviously met, I don't know, 2.5 years ago, I think it was. But we had this conversation with an investor, and there was one investor that came up, and he said he had absolutely loads. He had loads of properties, and he was buzzing around, and people were always jumping all over him. They were like, you know, sort of bees around honey. That's a polite way of saying it, I think. And he basically transpired that actually he made no money on all these massive amounts of property he had, because he was cash flow negative, and he bought in a really crappy area. But there was another guy I spoke to who said to me, you know, he had a handful, and that handful were a handful of HMOs, but those HMOs were netting him sort of $4,000 a month, you know, and actually he was the one who was generally the more successful. So I was, you know me, it's been difficult enough to try and get me on a podcast in the first place, because I don't really, I like to keep hidden away and doing what I'm doing. But yeah, getting on to how did I get around, how did it all come about? Yeah, always said it for 15 plus years, I need to get into property, I need to find a way, because my dad was an architect. And I've always had a fascination around it, doing up houses, bought the first house, did it up, bought another one, did it up. Bought this place that we moved into 16 years ago, you know, haven't been touched for 30 odd years. So bought, moved in here, ripped this apart. And yeah, and then bought buy-to-lets, basically. And
you've got quite a lot of experience then, would you say, doing refurbs for buy-to-lets and things?
Yeah, I think refurbs. But then, you know, again, it's going from doing a single let refurb or doing your own stuff. You know, it's the same as really doing the same process, as long as you're pretty systemized about it. But then doing an HMO is very different to doing a flat conversion, and then obviously going into doing developments. But I think the thing that I've learned in the last couple of years, and again, it's very much from moving from, you know, I know a lot of stuff from the commercial side. What I did before, but then you move it across to something which is really different, massively different. That it's just, this is just about setting up another business. I think that's the best way to explain it. You know, I get people going, well, you know, you moved into it relatively early. Well, yeah, I mean, I've had property, but moving across and setting up a business, setting up a brand, setting up a process, you literally, it's finding a product, developing that product, refurbing that product, refinancing that product, and getting the money coming back in. It's just a business model. That's all it is. Yeah. And, you know, people get really, really scared about it. Hey, look, you know what? We went and set up a lettings business, primarily focused around a need, which was, the need was really quite clear. Within our area, there wasn't, where we invest, there wasn't the right type of letting agent or person that understood HMOs. So what do? We asked a question of, you know, tenants. We asked a question of landlords in the area, investors in the area. What's the biggest thing that you struggle with? Well, first of all, transparency. Secondly, it's sort of the integrity of what is told to us on you know, what money's being taken and what isn't. It's building trust and rapport with those investors. And then, hey, guess what? You know, a letting business is born in literally a year and a half. And, you know, before me and you know it, you know, we are where we are with, you know, pushing people away.
I met you at Mastermind Accelerator, wasn't it? The 3-day event, which was good fun. And then obviously we both did Mastermind 27. And I remember on that, obviously, you got your first couple of HMO deals. Do you want to talk us through how you found those and what sort of deals you got there?
Yeah, a couple of quite creative. And certainly my solicitor and my broker really scratching their heads about it, because I went in and had a conversation. First of all, I didn't find them. I looked at the area I was trying to invest in. So I live up in the north. I looked at the likes of so if we look at the typical type of tenant, you're either going to maybe go for local housing, you're going to go for blue collar, you're going to go for student, or you're going to go for professional. And I went through it all and just decided that I was going to do professional. That was my choice. I just wanted to choose that type of tenant. Secondly, I decided I wanted to do HMOs, and I wanted to go large. And was that the brightest thing to do straight off? Probably not, because I was buying. It's done good. And but I was looking at the likes of, you know, should we say the primary towns or cities. So looked at Liverpool, Manchester, you know, you look at Birmingham and see what's going on in those areas. And then I looked at secondary towns. secondary towns, anything that's basically got a hospital, it's got good transportation links, it's got probably a train station, it's a size of, you know, maybe over 50,000 people. I'm not talking about a city, but basically where you know there's going to be some you know, professionals working there, and it's in a growth area and there's a level of investment. And yeah, I did that. I sort of reached out, and through the network, I had a couple of people come to me and say, look, we've got these properties that are off the market. Used a couple of techniques. One is landlord letters. I got quite a lot of responses because it's just about that consistency. But the other one was actually off the market. And I went to an engaged and managed to get hold of the landlords and found out what the key thing was. What did they want to do? And they just wanted to get out. The first one was a nursing home, and that was a 9-bed. And I did that one, what's called an exchange with delayed completion. Put no money down, and that's for 3 years, basically. That's been going through pretty well, but that's been full, literally from day one, been full. And
that one went back to brick, didn't it?
Literally back to brick. I mean, you know, it ripped it all out. And yeah, I mean, we set out that we wanted to provide stylish, functional, design-led, really clean houses, homes. And that's the simplest way to do it, because you're thinking about where would I want to live? Because as a student where I lived, you know, mine was flipping slugs climbing up the walls, you know, it's a horrendous place. And I just didn't want to go down the student route. And I felt there was an opportunity for professionals. I had loads of people telling me that we could not achieve above the rates, above the rent that was in the area at the time, which is £425 per calendar month. We got 40% increase on that, purely by offering a product. And we went out with brochures, you know, offering tenants brochures, giving them virtual walkarounds. You know, something that wasn't in the area. And this, you know, only a couple of years, well, a year and a half ago. So that was one, and that was a 9-bed. And then I did a 7-bed as well that year, as well as buying a couple of buy-to-lets as well.
For punishment.
Yeah, a lot of people go, you know, will go absolutely hammer and tongs at it. But I just wanted to make sure that I could bed these in, I could prove concept on these, and they have done. You know, they've been full ever since. No issue at all. And we've actually put in some quite innovative things. I won't go into it here because I actually think it's part of it is our unique stuff that we offer with our letting service and you know what I do at Redworth. But it's subsequently I've got a few things coming on board. In the next 5 months.
What are you working on at the moment then?
Yeah, so we've got a fantastic townhouse, really, really nice old townhouse. Imagine 5-story thing. And we're converting that to 4 flats. One's already got an existing maisonette on the top. And that's about 4 weeks away from being finished. So we've got one there, so that'll be done. We've then got another one that the build team, who I'm trying to keep in tow, they're just going to walk onto another one, which is another, I think, 4-story, 4-flat conversion. I've then got a very large conversion that is going to start probably September time, August, September time. That'll be 2 properties that will be converted out of that. And then I'm just waiting for 3 HMOs to finalise on as well.
Coming on.
So we've got, the target this year, I think we've been quite steady, but I think we'll probably do about 5 or 6 this year.
That's good. And I know for a fact that obviously you're always working with and looking for investors who obviously want to get a great return on their money and things. So obviously if there's anybody out there that's listening to this and wants to get in contact with you and find out more, then please do. We'll put links in the show notes for stuff like that. But we're always looking at working with investors, working with people. And of course, Redworth's Tim's property investing company. And then he has Podlets with yours truly to keep him on his toes. And that was a concept that really came together while we were doing the mastermind. And I just wanted to sort of roll back to the mastermind year, because obviously we both invested in ourselves, both invested in our educations to make sure we could do the best jobs we can do out there. But also the environment with everybody and the people. It's very important, isn't it, to have those connections, to be able to reach out to those different people, to be able to help you on your journey. Do you think that?
Yeah, it's quite a pertinent point, actually, because, you know, I've always been a huge fan of, you know, you've got to educate yourself, you've got to read to be able to take yourself forward. And you know, sort of coming from a background, if you wanted to learn about something, you they used to put you on training course, and make you accountable. And the thing that you just hear this everywhere, you know, there's been a lot of bad publicity around some training courses, particularly, should we say, unreputable individuals who may have caused a few problems for people. But there are some damn good training courses out there, really, really good people who can provide insights, who will give you, not just the upsides, but also give you the downsides. And, I sort of found myself looking at Mastermind. I looked at a couple and I realized that I needed that whole thing of the network of individuals, because that's actually those that accountability thing. Because I tell you what, it's really lonely. We talked about this. The fact is that, you know, you're not naturally going to just go into a big team. You know, I've come away from working with quite large teams, and then all of a sudden you're on your own. And then, you know, you're going through that process. Yeah, you've got your power team in play. You've got your solicitor. You've got your builders and whoever it is you're going to work with. But, you know, to a degree, they're going to give you advice, but that's paid advice. They're not going to be able to steer you and give you judgment on what. It's quite clinical judgment, quite clinical, overview of what they say you should and shouldn't do, you know, from your accountant to the tax advisor, whoever it may be. But having a mate in it, you know, I'll bounce stuff off you and say, you know, what about this, what about that? And you'll tell me I'm a crazy man. Or we can bounce some ideas off in terms of what are the next best things for us to do. And training allowed us, you know, we've built up a fantastic network of individuals who had a wealth of knowledge, from doing significantly big business development stuff, to people that are doing rent to rent, to people that have set their strategy up to do purely flats, to people that are just doing local housing. And there are people from all over different walks of life. You know, I was chatting away to a guy, and we talked about this. There was a bloke that we know who has a significant portfolio that you just wouldn't know at all. You know, the questions to him were, why are you on here? He said, well, I'm an accidental landlord. Yeah, I've got a, you know, X multi-million pound portfolio. But he said, the problem is, it's not cash flowing enough. So I need to find the tricks of how to be able to do that. And that's, he was on there to sort of understand that. But from mine and yours, you know, mine was really about looking at scaling, looking at how do we sort out investment? How do we work with other people? Again, it's just setting up a business model. And training, the training course we were on, Mastermind, was without a shadow of a doubt one of the best investments I've ever made. You know, I made that I got my money back from doing the first HMO within a month and a half of being on the course. But, yeah, you know, that was already set up, and it's just about having a structure. I mean, that's the other thing. So, you know, I'm not a soothsayer. I believe education is absolutely fundamental to being able to help you to get to where you want to be. If you want to educate yourself, that's absolutely fine. If you want to go on the internet and find that stuff, that's absolutely fine. I wanted to speed date. I wanted to go in there and find loads of people I could get on with who were on the same journey as me. You know, I was eyes wide open. I definitely wasn't rose-tinted glasses looking through thinking, this is going to be so easy. Categorically not. You know, I knew this pretty hard, but I'm in it for the long game. You know, this is why I said to you, you know, just a minute ago, that I only did three or four. That might sound a lot to a lot of people, but, you know, we know people that have done 20, 25 HMOs in a year. You know, it was slowly, that's the way, you know, I've always set out to do, and slowly this year, you know, and I think that's what we both do. You know, we're both making sure it's just about sustainability and oh God, I could go on about education for ages and talk about all the key people.
It is a fundamental thing of get the knowledge and you fast track your results. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people, they don't want to. I didn't initially. I wanted to read the books, and I was listening to the podcasts and everything like that. And I was thinking, I'm not spending X amount of hundreds or even thousands of pounds on people telling me how to buy a house and how to do this. But when you actually do put yourself into those positions, obviously my mind opened up to that, you realize how fast you can move, how quickly you can go and do things, because you don't have to think about it all yourself or reinvent a wheel. If you've got the people around you that have already done it, you can ask them the questions along the way. And you're exactly right. I think it's great. I think, you know, I will continue to now. I've always said to learn and to take advice from other people that are where I want to be. And if, as long as they're treading the ground that you want, why not put yourself in that environment? And I think moving forward, it's great. I mean, obviously, we both host the Great North Pin. So I'm normally saying I'm a co-host and everything, and I am a co-host. Tim's the other host. And that's another way for us to keep in the network, to keep in the community, to genuinely help people. But also, we do talk to people and we take advice from them as well. So it's a really good network and a good place to be. And I know that's pretty much one of the main reasons as well why you agreed to do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I just found that we struggled, you know, I struggled, we struggled to find a network. And bearing in mind, by the way, this was before, you know, all the Zoom stuff happened. You know, we went and did the Great North Pin. We set it back up again because it hadn't been on for 18 months or whatever. And within a month and a half or two, you know, we did two of them. We had to close it back down again. We went on to Zoom. But you know what? We've been consistently getting regular and really, really good speakers because they haven't either had to travel up. But it's also meant that we haven't been able to really get out to other networking events. I mean, there are a couple of events up there who up in Yorkshire in the Northeast that are decent. But goes back to the point that we mentioned there, Mark, which is all about get a bit of giving back and still learning, because every time these speakers come on, we're going to learn more. When the lettings people come on, well, they're going to give us an update of the stuff that, you know, we might not have known about. Or the mortgage guys come on, they give us an update in terms of where the market is, you know, where inflation is going to be hitting or what interest rates are going to be and what people can buy into. And, you know, quite a lot of the time you get a lot of new people coming onto property and they're quite put back and astounded by the amount of people that are prepared to offer free guidance. And I think that's the thing that I still can't quite get my head around. It is a really decent community, but you probably surround yourself with four or five people that you consistently can keep tapping into. Great North Pin though has been we've had some really good feedback on that, and that's just hey, I put it down to the hosts. Nothing else.
Well, I do. I think I think they're a great set of guys, and I'd be there every month. That's for sure. But no, it's definitely once. You know, if you want to come and join us, come and say hello, then do come to the Great North Pin. It's on the second Tuesday of every month, and we welcome everybody with open arms. Moving on from there. Obviously, I know you a lot better than a lot of the listeners will as well. And I also know that you've got a vision, you'll have a target, you'll have a goal. You know, how close are you to achieving your goal, so to speak, in where you want to be with your own sort of portfolio? I know it's a bit of a legacy for your children as well. So, and I know you're going at it great guns. You've got so much going on. But, you know, is there a horizon? Is Tim thinking, I'll do this for the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years and then I've done it? Or is it just an ongoing thing for you?
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a step process. So first of all, you know, this is where, and again, it depends on the individuals. And hey, I tell you what, this is also a key thing of where education really helps, because normally what you would do, you would probably think you step out of a salaried role and you're going to go and do property development. Property development that may take 18 months. Hey, Mark, we've spoken to an individual who was on Mastermind who has a significant business, and they were doing property developments all the time. But the biggest thing that absolutely crucified them was cash flow. And this is where I think a lot of people get it wrong. They move into property and they automatically go, right, I'm going to do flips, or I'm going to do development stuff, or I'm going to do buy-to-lets, and that's going to replace my income stream. Not necessarily the case. So, you know, the whole focus for me has always been push cash flow. Cash flow, what I mean by that is find something that is going to be giving me, replacing my salary. So that's why I chose HMOs, because it's the biggest amount of cash flow that can come from probably one single property, or you could do something like service accommodation or maybe holiday lets. And obviously buy to lets as well. It depends obviously what income you want to come in. So cash flow has been focused for me, and then continues to do buy to lets. And I'll probably do HMOs now for at least another a couple of years. And I think it's just really important, but it's just purely for me. I'll do HMOs probably for a couple of years, get to the target I want to achieve in terms of room numbers, income stream. And then, you know what? I don't need to scale it any more than that. Enough's enough. And what I'll do from that, I'll then be moving on more so onto the again, you know, we talked about it, onto doing more of the development stuff that I've been doing. So I'm doing quite a lot of refurbs and constantly being asked, you know, we're always being asked if we'll look after do and start to do refurbs for people. And it will probably move more so onto that, because it's just a process. I think the thing is, it can all be, everybody can get really excited about going into bottling. It can all be like silver pennies, you know, shiny pennies.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You just try and go for everything. Try and go for everything. But if you focus on that one thing and absolutely nail it and become the expert in it, then hey, it's great. We met a guy, Mark. Do you remember? It was about a year and a half ago. And he had a really nice little saying. And I think we asked him the same thing. So what's your strategy? And he said, my strategy is a fruit bowl. You what? Fruit bowl. Yeah. You have apples, you have grapes, you have bananas, you have pears. And he, so the, his analogy was basically saying is, have a bit of commercial, have some buy-to-lets, have HMOs, I have serviced accommodation. Because he said, if any one of those strategies goes wrong, then something else is underpinning it. And I think that's a really important thing. You know, that's hence the reason why, you know, we've got buy-to-lets, HMOs, we've got flats, we've got a lettings business, trading business, you know, because it just means you've got different income streams coming from everywhere. So yeah, my wife just tells me I'm probably never going to give up.
I don't think you will. What is giving up if you're enjoying what you're doing? At the end of the day, a lot of people, well, that's it. I know a lot of people get scared, and it's quite, can be quite a daunting prospect, you know, to take a property back to brick, to build it all up, to deal with the trades, to deal with all the unknown uncertainties that get thrown at you, because it's not a case of, you know, let's do some plans, let's bang out everything and let's put everything new in. There's so many things that you learn along the way. And I know, you know, every day or every week there's a new learning and something else is over budget or something's going to cost you a bit more. And that's just the nature, I suppose, of property, because near enough every property is pretty new, unique in its own way. So what are some of the biggest learnings that you've sort of picked up that maybe when you started doing refurbs, you didn't really expect to come and smack you in the face?
Lots of them are sat around either some of the permitted development things that happen, around some of the challenges, should we say, with building control. It's not always, although they will tell you it's quite black and white, it's quite grey. Also, you've got to kiss a few frogs when you are with your team. So I, at the moment, you know, I've got a really good build team who are working in one area who have been consistent. They're very talented at what they do. Hey, you know what? Things have gone wrong. You know, things have gone wrong. It's going to happen. But as long as you've got a degree of contingency, I mean, we're going to run over by time by, I think, about a week and a half, 2 weeks on a project. I don't see that being a huge issue, because we've also considered at the NGDV where that's going to sit. So quite interesting enough, right, when COVID came in, we got a valuer to come in and actually value the flats. And he decided to knock them down between 10 and 15%. But hey, guess what? The market actually hasn't moved 10 to 15% down in the particular area. I'm now getting told by local agents, who have gone around three in the last week, and saying, whereabouts are we on prices? And they're saying, well, it's between the 5 and 8% up. So, you know, the plan is, hopefully, hey, touch wood, that when we get that revalued in the next couple of weeks, we'll hopefully see a better revaluation. But yeah, anything can hit you. You know, price increases at the moment are coming through on things like wood. And obviously wood takes quite a bit of quite an integral part of a build. And obviously the other thing with COVID, you know, we just didn't expect the fact that, unfortunately, if the build team gets taken down by somebody becoming poorly, then it just becomes quite difficult. So, lots of learnings.
Every day is a school day, isn't it, at the end of the day, but you always find a way to get around it. And that's the thing. I think, like you do, you have your contingency plan. And even though you've been doing this throughout COVID, throughout lockdowns where it's been safe to do so, you're still maybe only a week and a half running over, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And, you know, it's to be commendable, that sort of thing.
Tell you what, Mark, you make a really good point about property is just about problem solving. It actually is about problem solving. And as long as you've got, because all it is just a product. It's a product. And if you do your homework to begin with, and you make sure before you go into to that property, your eyes wide open and you know exactly what some of the challenges are going to be, all you're doing is just going around and trying to figure out to make sure you can mitigate that problem. That is literally it.
So I'm going to ask you, in the property world, because obviously you're a full-time property investor, you have been for a couple of years now, what would you say your biggest success has been?
Oh, that's a good one.
What are you most proud of achieving or what you've done? What do you look at and say? Because obviously, if you guys and girls go onto Instagram and look at Redworth, Tim's property, his property company, you'll see a lot of the pictures of his HMOs and you can see just how high spec and what good standards they are. So it's always worth to have a little look at that, as well as obviously Podlets, which we have together as well. And you can see a lot of the rooms there. You know, we only deal with certain types of properties and also certain types of investors and landlords. And I'm not saying that we look to not work with people, but they've got to be right. They've got to sort of fit the bill. We're not looking to be the biggest. We just want to be the best at what we do. So anyway, sorry, back to the question. I caught you out with that one. Did you get an answer?
Couple of things. So I've looked at Redworth property, so that's like the buy and hold thing that I do. For me, it is about having still being able to get some things over the line, deals over the line, which have taken a lot longer. And I suppose, you know, mature head, I've also just taken some time out by the fact that, you know, actually while you're working in property, you can actually have time out and I can spend more time with the family. You know, I know a lot of people might, you know, I go walking every morning. So you'll probably see some crazy post of me walking at 5:30 in the morning, taking snapshots. I just love it. Absolutely love it because it gives you the freedom to do what you want. Working with some investors, working with individuals or new investors who are looking for, improve returns on the money that they've got, you know. So we've got a few that we work with now, and just about to start working with a couple of people. And I just think, you know, you start to build some lifelong friendships with a lot of these people. I don't just see it as a transactional thing. Interesting, we were listening to something today, you know, I'm a huge believer in that it doesn't have to be, it is about relationships. Is this thing, it isn't about transactional, it's not about stiffing people, it's not about trying to take the last penny off the table from somebody else. You know, this is about joint relationships and working with people. And I'm working with a guy at the moment in a JV. We did a bit of we actually did quite a decent deal on a property that he's come in with me on, and he's just a fantastic bloke, and I wouldn't have met him unless I'd have got into this. And with Podlets, look at Pod. I mean, you know, we set out and what we said our target was going to be this year to have, you know, X amount of rooms. I thought it was quite bold, but I genuinely think we're going to absolutely nail that this year. Now, you know, we've said we're going to do it. We said we're going to set out and do it. And you know, for me, I think that's just it shows if you're absolutely committed and you know you've got a very clear plan in place, then why not? Why would you not hit it?
Well, that's, I think half of it as well is staying active. It's staying on it. I mean, you brought up a really good point, which you don't always appreciate it enough. Is your time. Your own time now, your own time freedom. You know, you're not getting up at silly o'clock to go and catch a plane to go somewhere and do a job for really somebody else at the end of the day, but you get paid for it. You know, you can get up in the morning. I do the same. I go for a walk, take the dog out, go for a walk, spend time with the family when you want to spend time. So you know that when you need to work and you need to get it done, you're getting it done. But then at the end of the day, it's not like a 9-to-5 job, is it? So it takes a bit of time to get, or I found it did. It took a bit of time to sort of get used to coming out of when you've been in the corporate world for, you know, a good few years. It's very much, sometimes I used to more than now, find myself just sat down thinking, I should be doing something when you could actually just sit back with the family and just chill out. And my wife says to me, what are you walking around for? Well, I think I should be doing something, or, you know, or I feel like I've forgotten to do something. And she's just like, no, sit down, you clown. You know, you ever get that sort of thing?
I do. Or is that just me? No. We were out. We went to have a look around one of our target locations, and yes, we went for a walk around. This is about a year and a half ago, And we both started looking around, and this is during the day. And of course, you know, nobody else is around. Everybody else is effectively working. We went for a bit of lunch and, you know, did a couple of viewings and then did a couple of other stuff. And we both commented that, you know, we feel like a bit of a fraud because everybody else looks like they're busy working. But what we're forgetting is you put the time up front to do the research and do the due diligence that we were doing. We're looking at properties, we're assessing whether they were right for us or not. And actually, once you go and purchase that, then therefore it's set ourselves up. You know, all we were doing was just doing, we're just doing it very, very differently. And, but it still gives you that whole guilt trip of the fact that you should be doing something 12 hours a day, it just feels like. And hey, my wife tells me at the moment, you know, it gets to 7:30 at night, I'm a right laugh. You know, I'm absolutely shattered because I do get up early like you. And I love getting up in the mornings. For me, the success for me has been a couple of things, really. First of all, you know, health, mental state. I mean, I'd say, you know, I'm incredibly positive all the time. My 13-year-old daughter doesn't particularly like it in the morning when I'm so happy, and she's clearly a 13-year-old girl coming down. not too happy to see her dad in the morning. But, yeah, I mean, you know, certainly over COVID as well, you know, doing all the stuff that we've been doing, going out walking, keeping fit. You know, we talk about the habit stacking we're doing. I've even started to cut out caffeine. It's just a lot of the just trying to change a few things. You know, do things a bit differently, because actually if we can do stuff and get things planned now, and we carry on doing and carry on building the business as we're doing over the next 2-3 years, then hey, you know what, 2-3 years down the line, you know, our plan's pretty clear where we want to be, what we want to do, and while everybody else is still going to be on that hamster wheel. Everybody can do this. This is the thing. Yeah.
But it's having that vision of purpose. Yeah. And I think that is so important. So what I want to do now is a little quick fire round. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and just when they come, whatever comes to your head, you let me know, because it's just all good fun.
I don't trust you on this one.
No, it's all right. hey, it's nothing original with this. I've nicked this off another podcast. So anyway, so what's your best or your worst advice?
Good one. Best advice is if you don't know.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is if you still can't figure it out in your own head, then you know it's probably not the right thing to do.
I like that. That's good. That's
if
good.
You don't know, you know. And worst advice?
I'll probably give you some of that this morning.
let me come back to that one. I'm just trying to think. Worst advice? God, I don't know. You know, probably worst advice was to myself about 15, 20 years ago, when I said, you know what, I'm not going to go and buy that first buy to let.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have got in earlier. And that's the whole thing I keep saying. Hey, but you can't change.
Well, you're in now. That's the main thing. You've finally got there. And I think you can't give yourself a hard time over that. If you had to go back to the corporate world, what would be your preferred job? If you could choose any job?
I would probably go back into sales. I would not go back into boardroom doing that stuff. I wouldn't go back into doing a lead role.
Yeah.
Because it's too much. What would I do? Hey, I tell you what, it'd be quite good fun, wouldn't it? Going and selling ice cream.
Why not?
Making ice cream. Yeah. Now, that is a good job.
Now we're talking. All right. So you're going to have a dinner party, and you can invite 3 guests, dead or alive. Who would you have?
Oh, Jim Rohn.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly.
Be a laugh.
It would be a right laugh with him. If nobody knows Jim Rohn, he's an American guy. He wrote all about the art of excellence. If you've never listened to it in Audible, listen to it. He's absolutely fantastic.
Jim Rohn.
And another guy who I think is just an absolute legend. Jack Welch was the CEO of General Electric. And hey, you might think, oh my God, that's really boring. No, you know what? He's really, they're all really, really funny. So you'd have a bit of a laugh with them, but they're also such, they've seen so many things. Can I have a fourth one?
Yeah.
Prince Philip.
Yeah, he'd be a laugh as well, wouldn't he?
Well, the amount of people, the amount of stuff that he's seen.
Yeah.
And he'd tell you as well.
Oh, yeah, well, he never shortage of telling people, but yeah,
bless him. Who would you have?
Who would I have? I'd have Jim Rowan, Michael Jordan, just because I'd like to talk to him about his mentality and everything and how he does things. And I would probably have, who would I have? That's a good point. I'll invite you, Tim. You come and we'll have a laugh.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
It all goes out the window anyway, doesn't it, when we get together?
Yeah, it'd be a boozy do.
It all goes out the window. And what are your top three podcasts? I know you love listening to your podcasts.
Well, clearly this one.
Well, obviously now it's here, yes.
What else do I listen to? You know what? I'm just going to quickly bring it up because I've got it on here somewhere. You know, one of the things I do listen to a lot is Audible. And I listen to Audible a hell of a lot. I'm listening to one of them. I actually listen to these quite a lot. It's called The Game of Loans. Game of Loans is really good. Yeah, it's by a guy who is a mortgage broker, IFA, and he has quite a lot of people on. So that's a decent one. And then there's another one that I listen to, which is with, I haven't even got it on it. It's with Giles Brandwith. It's called Something Purple. Oh, here we go. Something Rhymes with Purple. And they go through, it's completely nothing to do with property. And it's with Susie Dent. You know, the lady that was on Countdown, I think she was in. What they do, they choose words and they take you through and they explain all the background behind some of the words. It's just something to take you away.
You do need to take your mind off of things, don't you? That's it. And that will bring us on to the books. So what's your top three books?
Oh, crikey.
Not 50 Shades either. These have to be educational books. I know what you like reading.
And none of my Barbara stuff either, right? Okay.
No, none of that.
Well, one of the ones I've always liked is, again, Jack Welch. It's a book called Winning. The Miracle Morning, I think, was absolutely amazing. Really, really set the tone. And another one, which actually I read relatively recently, probably it's just something which, again, it's really about mindset. It's about there's an ex-Marine, ex-American Marine called David Goggins. It's called Can't Hurt Me, I think it is. Yeah. And I read that when I was on a bus. On the way to skiing with the kids, I think it was back in 2016, I think it was. Honestly, nobody got me for literally 2-3 hours, and then on the plane, couldn't get a hold of me because I was just, you know, transfixed with this thing. Really, really insightful. So one's really about business. Another one is about, you know, getting up in the morning and just changing the way you do things and, you know, change what you do to change the way you sort of go forward. And Goggins is just utterly bonkers, but it's just... It makes you realize you can do anything. I think they're Tom, but I don't know. I'm like you. I mean, I've now started to get down the route of in the morning I do sort of property stuff and reading. I'm just looking up to what books I've got up here. And the other time I just do a lot of Audible. So I'll get through 2 Audible books a month. And a lot of them will be, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours worth of listening. But it's just incredible the amount of things and stuff I wished I'd have read, you know, ages ago. But hey, it's all right. At a dinner party, we'll be able to talk about everything.
Well, that's it. That's it. Keep educating yourself. Keep moving forward. That's what I always say. So it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, Tim. If any of the listeners or anybody would like to get in contact with you in any way, what's the best way to reach your good self?
So it's either through, you can get a hold of us at hi@pod-lets.co.uk. Or you can get me at Redworth Property if it's about investing, or if you're an investor, you're interested in seeing what we're doing, or if you just want to have a chat, you can get hold of us at tim@redworth, that's redworth property.co.uk.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So, yes, if you're interested in the refurbs and everything that Tim's got going on there, then please do hook up with him and have a chat and see what's going on in the world. Because as you can tell, there's always something going on. Have you got any final thoughts, Tim, or is everything good?
No, everything's really good. But hey, I've got a question for you. Obviously, rent to rent was a big thing for you when you started out. I'm also going to put you on the spot, young man. Because haven't you just started something? Because you keep constantly getting barraged by messages and people saying to you, hey, Mark, you know, when are you going to share some of your experience? Have you not just done something?
Yes. So, well, funny you should say that. So I have through, I was going to say popular demand, but through quite a few requests now, I am sharing my rent-to-rent knowledge. I am starting a 90-day rent-to-rent business builder training course. If you get in contact with me, I can send you the details on the link on it. What it is a 90-day course where every 2 weeks we'll be on group calls with my good self to answer any of your questions. We have a private Facebook group with only those members in, as I believe that by surrounding yourself with like-minded people, pushing yourself forward like I did when I started out, is the best approach to getting yourself where you want to get to as quickly as possible. So it is the rent-to-rent business builder in 90 days. Thank you for that, Tim. I've got my hands full with my first sort of intake at the moment. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a chance for me to give something back to help people and, you know, make sure that everybody's doing everything that they can do compliantly and in the right way. And let's make sure that in the property world, you know, everybody's out there and everybody's doing it how they should be doing it and not cutting any corners. So thank you for that. And as I said before, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. What I would like to also ask you and put you back on the spot is, in the future, obviously when you've got more HMOs and you're still doing some refurbs and things, I'd like to potentially come and do maybe a live podcast. I know you can't see things, but we might put it on YouTube. We'll walk around, we can have a look, you can just talk us through the sort of design things that you've got going on, and equally, you know, what's happening with the refurbs, the problems, how you're getting around the problems. And I just think, really, I know for a fact it's been massive learnings for you, and half of the stuff that happens, you don't get trained or you don't get told in training, because it can be, as we said before, quite unique to the properties. So I'd like to get you back onto the show as well, and maybe update people on how things are going, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've got lots of stuff going on. So build team are literally running, well, you know, they're self-employed, these guys, but they're literally working for us probably for the next 2 years, the way it's looking like. So, yeah, we've always got something on. Hey, you know, we might even be able to get one of the builders or have a conversation with you, but you're absolutely right. There are, you know, we've now absolutely nailed our blueprint of what we want them to look like. And we just, it now just means it's a bit of a rollout. But yeah, I'm sure every day, you know, there's always something to, if it didn't go wrong, you wouldn't learn from it, would you?
So, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd love that. It'd be good. But we won't tell them where it is because it's our little secret area.
Yeah, secret squirrels. We'll only show you the inside of the properties, or talk you through the inside of the properties, as it may be. So that wraps up the episode. I hope everybody's enjoyed this. And if you have, I shall see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you for listening, guys. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe and share the podcast with others. And if you could take a minute to leave the show a review, that would really mean a lot to me as well. Lastly, why not head over to the Property Unleashed Facebook group? And if you do, I'll see you there. Take care and make sure you keep focusing on your vision. Bye for now.